Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we have this one wonderful 2 hours once a week every Saturday. And from the state of Ohio, I send you my greetings. And it's my joy and my privilege to have with us tonight our friend and our producer and my co-host, Christy Johnson. Hello, Christy, and how are you?
Hey, Usama, I am doing, I'm hanging in there,
watching the crazy. I thought you were going to say you're doing great.
I usually say that. I thought I'd be different tonight and tell the truth. No, I'm always doing great. God is good.
Are you trying to tell me that all these years we're doing this radio broadcast, you lied to me and you say you're doing great, but you're not doing great?
No, I don't do that. I tell you the truth. But because I tell you the truth, I'm saying if there's so much stuff happening out there, it's just kind of frustrating watching the skill of so many liars. And it gets
liars
to you after a while. It gets to you after a while.
Well, you
but
know what?
We know God. God.
Go ahead, Christy.
One of us has to talk, Usama, and I was just going to
I know
that God is in control. We know that the Bible has been something and the Word of God that we can count on without any question. So we trust the Lord and we do what we can do in spite of whether people, you know, the lies that are being told. I pray people can see through them, and that's why we got to keep speaking the truth, right?
Amen. You know what, Christy? I decided in my life that I will not cause terrible things happen locally or internationally, even in my own just life, day of day. I will not allow these things to disturb my spirit, because if ever these wicked things happen around us affect my emotion and my mind and my heart, that will end my existence and that will end our ministry goal. So I will focus and I will focus on Jesus and Christ alone, because if we look at things happening around us, we're going to end drowning. You remember when Peter was in the boat and Jesus was walking on the water, and friends, the disciples were afraid. They saw that it's a ghost, and Jesus said, "No, it's me. It's I am. I am Jesus. It's not good." Then Peter said, "Well, it's you. Call me, and I'll come to you." I said, "Okay, Peter, come on down." So here is Peter walking on the water, and he did walk on the water, by the way. But then he lifted up his eyes from Jesus, and he started looking at the waves and the water, and it's like, wow, what is that? And immediately he started drowning. But thank God he did not fight it, or, you know, he's a good fisherman. He can fight and swim. But he cried, "Help." He cried, "Help." And Jesus reached out his hand, and he helped him up. He carried him up above the water and bring him back inside the boat. This is not a story we tell to children in a Sunday school for little children, but that's truth. That we will face in our life waves, and we will face hurricanes, tornadoes, whatever. All the crises will come to our life. And if we focus on Jesus and Jesus Christ alone, it doesn't matter. We can walk over all this hardship. But if not, we're going to end drowning. So I don't want to get myself to be depressed. You know, that one of the drowning, I believe, is just to be depressed. And I've seen so many people in America, so many Christians, so many conservatives are depressed because of what's happening here and around the world. But we're not going to allow this to happen anyway. So we have a long show tonight. Christy, we have 2 hours to cover so many topics. We're going to be going to Libya. We're going to go to Egypt. We're going to go to Syria. We're going to go to Iran, Israel. We're going to be here in America. We're talking about these three cases. We have George Zimmerman, Florida. and I don't want to waste too much time on it, because I believe it is made by the devil and the Democrats to distract the American people and to bring more division in America. And I would like to talk about this, the Boston bomber, and also I'd like to talk about Dominic Hassan, the Fort Hood shooter. And at the same time, we need to cover some of our study in our textbooks, lies in the textbooks, to expose some of the lies which are sadly put by Muslims in America, in our public schools, to brainwash our children, to infiltrate our education, and to infiltrate the mind and heart of our innocent children, which sadly, they will never hear the truth at home, they will never hear it in church, and they will just be trained to believe in the lies which they will be studying in the textbooks in our public school. Which way are you going to go? You choose the topic, and we'll go from there.
Well, I think there's several things that are happening in the country, and some of our listeners and some of our friends in the chat room may have some comments about these things. There was a story. Why don't we start with it's kind of a silly story, and yet it points out one of the problems that we're seeing in America, and one of the things it does, I think, disturb a lot of our friends who are trying to speak out the truth. And this was the Rolling Stone magazine expose on the Boston bomber, this young man who was featured on the cover of the Rolling Stone. There used to be a song when I mean, 100 million years ago about, it was a rock group singing about how their goal in life was to find themselves on the cover of the Rolling Stone magazine. And so here we have the Boston terrorist featured on the magazine, which was a very flattering way to portray him. And the story itself about him was also very sympathetic, talking about what a wonderful young man he was, talking about all of the great things that he did. And, you know, this is where we see, I believe, the scripture saying, woe to them that call good evil and evil good. This is a big problem that seems to be emerging in America right now. A lot of the public is appealing to this romanticizing of terror and evil, just in general, not just this kid, but evil in general. Hey, I got somebody that wants to call in to talk about that, so I'm going to tell you 2020. Go ahead and call in if you want to talk about that. It was very disturbing because it's not the first time that we've seen this. But, you know, you wonder, is this because they want money for the magazine? They want notoriety? I mean,
Christy, you know what? I believe we truly live in the last days where, from now on, just get used to it. Whenever a Muslim jihadist will do anything, our media and the liberal in this country will do everything they can to set them free, to find any excuse for them that they did it because of something else. And, you know, it is a fact. There's not one conservative TV station or radio program who exposed Islam in this young man. This 19 years old is a victim. Let me say it again. He is the victim of the cult of Islam. And not one media in this entire 50 states of the United States of America, not one radio, not one TV, have exposed the truth about why this is happening. You know, the two questions, which George W. Bush asked 12 years ago, almost 12 years ago, and Barack Hussein Obama repeated in the case of Boston, or in whatever other case is going to happen in the next few years. They said, we will find out who did it and why they did it. That's the truth. Who did it and why they did it? And sadly, it's been 12 years, and American people did not find out yet who did it and why they did it. And until we answer these two simple questions, which has been represented to us by Barack Hussein Obama and George W. Bush before him, until American people will realize the truth about who did it and why they did it, We deserve to have more and more attacks. And I'm not kidding you. September 11 is nothing to what America will see in the years to come. It will be million September attack all over America. You will be terrorized north and south, east and west in this country because we allow the Muslims to prosper and to continue to come to this country and to continue to take over very important jobs in this country. The military of the United States of America will be ruled someday by the Muslims. As the White House today is ruled, is being ruled by Obama and many of the Brotherhood of the Muslim Jihadists. Do you realize, Christy, that the Egyptian people, the last 2 weeks, removed the Brotherhood of Egypt, and Americans are embracing the Brotherhood in every important job at the same time? I mean, common sense, logically, people, logically, Obama is hiring the same people whom the Egyptians do not want to have, and they're removed from power. And Obama is putting this Cuban power. And guess what? It's going to get worse. Who did it and why did it? So far, from this Boston situation, so far, all I learned is that this young boy, the sweetheart, 19 years old boy, this movie star or the look like on this magazine like some really beautiful, nice-looking kid. I guarantee you, from this magazine, right now, there's a good 1,000 young lady in America who would love to marry him. Right now.
Yeah. It's
a good,
what's
a good 1,000 mother.
Yeah.
There's a good 1,000 mother who would love to have this man to marry his daughters. No, it is so stupid. And until today, the American people have never learned the truth about Islam and the role in Islam in this man. They think somehow
he fought against
radical Islam.
Usama, I agree with all what you're saying. Your signal is not really good. It's not really good. So I don't know if there's anything you can do to get a little better or if you've got, you know, I know you're limited because you're traveling all over the place. So
what can you can't hear my voice? Is my voice is bad?
Yeah, it was a little bit. It sounds better right now. So come on and
Christy,
talk
I
to me a little
four
bit.
Bars. I have 5 bars on my phone. This is the best I will ever have in my phone. But what I'm trying to say,
okay.
let me continue. If you see my voice bad, let me know. But what
I
I'm
will.
Saying here is very simple. All what our investigations so far have come up with, that this man has been infiltrated or has been, his brother, his older brother influenced him, okay? And then we found out his older brother has been influenced by this Muhammad Faiz, the imam from Australia. And I promise you, as we will go through this trial, nothing about Islam will be exposed. And let me say it again, Christy Johnson. As we go through the trial of this young man, nothing from the Quran will be mentioned. Nothing about Allah or Muhammad will be mentioned in the court of law. And the only reason they are going to do that is because simply they are so coward and they are so stupidity, the stupidity of political correctness is taking over this country. So the only way you can bring justice to end terrorism in America is to search for the source of terrorism. It is nothing but Allah's word of the Quran and Muhammad's word of the Hadith. And that's what I have found myself. Yes, they said that he was influenced by his older brother. Well, his older brother is dead. And they said, well, his older brother was influenced by Imam Muhammad Faiz. I said, that's true. From Australia, this radical imam from Australia. Now, I went online, and I saw the videos which Muhammad Faiz was teaching in it, nothing but the word of Allah in the Quran and the command of Muhammad in the Hadith. And sadly,
you know,
this country will not speak the truth, Christy Johnson, to the American people about why this Boston bombing took place. And as long as we'll be idiot, as long as we'll be stupid, quiet about it, the reason why Muslims are victim of Islam, the problem is in the cult of Islam. As long as we be quiet, the more Muslims we have in America, the more important jobs all over this country are given by Muslims, and the more Muslims will rule over us, and the day will come where every mosque in America will launch attack, not like Boston, but like September 11. You're going to have a few hundred thousand September 11 on one Friday, someday in the future of America, and you can kiss this country goodbye. Go ahead, Christy.
That sounded better, Usama. You know, I think, and we do have a caller, so I'm going to get to them in just a minute. But I think the thing that is so disturbing, Usama, is this lack of willingness to address the truth is not just coming from the liberal media, but it's even when you look at the more conservative talk show and television people in the mainstream media. It's like they're afraid of something, that they're going to get labeled or they're going to get pulled off the air. I don't know what it is, but you can't even get them to stick to what the facts are about Islam. Everything is portrayed as something it's not. So this young man, he was a wonderful young man. He was a wonderful Muslim. Trust me, I know they're going to say this. Oh, he was a wonderful Muslim. And what happened? What went wrong? Oh, he must have, you know, maybe his brother injected him with drugs or something. I mean, that's kind of where this goes. They don't want to say what got to him, what got to the 19 hijackers from September 11th, what got to all of them was Islam. Anybody can be a nice person, and if they study and practice the teaching of Islam for real, this is where they can end up, and this is where the book of the Quran and the teaching of Muhammad is going to take them. They don't want to say that, and yet I believe some of them know that. It's so frustrating.
You know,
that's why you know, get...
one of the small segments in the Muhammad movie, the movie which Hillary and Obama lied to the American people and said that was causes the killing of Christopher, our ambassador of Libya and Benghazi, and the other three young men. One of the very important pieces of this movie, it's a small piece, it literally lives in 20 seconds, where you see this man writing on a whiteboard to his wife and his daughter. He said,
yes,
good man plus X equal Muslim terrorist. And Muslim terrorist minus X equal a good man. You know how long it takes this? It's literally what? Less than 10 seconds, 15 seconds.
Yes,
15
short
seconds
part of
include more truth than you can ever hear on the media all over the United States of America. You can get me now a right, lovely, handsome, beautiful, godly young man. I don't care what age he is. A good person, a good man. And add X to him. He will become a Muslim terrorist. If you got this 19-year-old boy from Boston who know nothing about any hate or any crime, pure, innocent child, and teach him Islam, he will immediately become a Muslim terrorist. You can bring a Muslim terrorist, and I praise God for many of my Christian friends who used to be Muslim terrorists, like Walid Shabbat, like Kamal Saleem, like Mark Gabriel, we have hundreds of them. These used to be Muslim terrorists, and we took X out of them. We removed Islam out of them. We give them the love of Christ. They became a Christian. They became a born-again Christian, and they become the most wonderful, godly, loving, peaceful men you can ever imagine. So if we want to know the truth about why terrorism is taking place in America and around the world, we must understand X. We must learn X. We must read the Quran. We must study what Muhammad taught the Muslim people. Just study the history of Islam. From the days of Muhammad until today, X is the problem. Islam is the problem. The teacher of Allah as the teacher of Muhammad. And if we don't figure this out, you might as well let this little young man, 19 years old, live free. There's no point. What are you going to do to him? You're going to lock him up in jail for the rest of his life? You're going to waste our tax money on this piece of trash? He's gonna live until he hits 80, 90. Literally, it will cost our tax money a few hundred thousands of dollars because we're a country of law? That's how foolish we are. And not that. During the next few years, thousands and thousands of Muslims are going to grow up in America to get ready for the day where they will do the same thing this young man did.
Yeah.
That's the reality. That's the reality.
Yes. You know, Usama, we have some other callers that are calling in. And
sure.
I think we probably ought to catch our callers. I know I've got at least three people on the line, and I'm going to check with the first one. The last four on your phone are 1231. So I'm going to pick you up right now. Go ahead with your comment or question. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you.
Did you have a comment or question? Hey.
Yeah, I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes,
go ahead.
Your voice
I have a question. Last night I was searching on the internet and I came across a story. I don't know if you've heard of it. In Jacksonville, Florida, a mosque turned in a 19-year-old who had turned, you know, into a jihad. He had gone to Yemen, and when he came back, the FBI picked him up. And the sheriff. Have you heard about that, and what do you think about it?
Well, sadly, I have never heard of it. Believe it or not, I'm right now in the state of Ohio, and I will investigate it. But it is a very normal. Let me repeat what I just said a minute ago, and I did not know you're gonna. This is your comment or your question. When you get a decent man or a decent woman, someone who is so loving, someone who is so peaceful, and teaching Islam in Yemen, in Saudi Arabia, in Turkey, in Iraq, in Egypt, in Morocco, in China, in Indonesia, on the moon. If they have a mosque on the moon, and we send somebody from planet Earth to the moon to learn about Islam, when he comes back to Earth, most likely, 100%, he would be a Muslim jihadist. Because that is the heart of Islam. That is the heart of the teaching of Allah. When you open the Quran and you read, the word of Allah encourage and provoke every Muslim to kill an infidel, a Christian, a Jew, an atheist, an agnostic, a gay, a lesbian. I mean, Islam is a religion of hate. It's not because I said so, because Allah said so. I know we're here in America being brainwashed by Muslims. We love you, Christian. We love you, Jew. We believe in Moses. We believe in Jesus. We believe in all the prophets, and all of us worship the same God. And Usama teach hate, and Christy Johnson teach hate, and that's why we need to lock them up in some prison or kill them, because we love you so much. Now, let's open the Quran. Quran chapter 5, verse 51. You know what's amazing, Chris, as I was sharing in the church here last night? When you talk to Muslims, those who say, we love you and we love Jesus and we love Moses and we love you gay and we love you lesbian and we love everybody. If you ask these Muslim people, just simply try it. Try it, ladies and gentlemen. Try it. Go attend some of these meetings where liberal Muslims or those who call themselves modern Muslims speak love and peace. Just ask them simply, would you please read for me Quran chapter 5 and verse 51. They will refuse to read the verse just by knowing the chapter and the verse. I mean, can you imagine somebody come to you, Christy? Somebody come to you and say, Christy Johnson, would you please read to me the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18 and verse 12? Or would you please read to me the book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and verse 14? What are you going to tell them? I'm not going to read it? I said, well, let me see. Let me open the Bible and read it. All right.
Yeah.
But can you imagine if I come to you and I said, would you please read the Quran, chapter 5 and verse 51, and you immediately reject to read the verse by just giving you the number. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? That means Muslims who are smiling in your face, who hug you and kiss you on your cheek, and they say they love you and they believe in Jesus and they believe in Moses, these Muslims are nothing but big hypocrites. They're big liars, they're big deceivers, because they know the Quran. They memorize the Quran, and they know exactly what Allah said in Quran chapter 5, verse 51. And there Allah said, oh, you have believed, that is Muslim believers, not extremists, not radical, oh, you have believed, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. So the reality is, they know what the Quran says. Allah commanded them in the Quran to hate us. Allah commanded them in Quran chapter 9, verse 29, to kill us. Allah commands the Muslim and orders the Muslim to terrorize us, as it is written in Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27, and many verses throughout the Quran. But these people know how to deceive us. They know how to lie to us. So if you got a good, decent man, I don't care if it's you, a Christian, atheist, agnostic,
and teach him Islam. And if he believes in Islam, for sure he'll become extremist. For sure he'll become a Muslim believer. For sure he'll become a jihadist, because that is the heart of Islam. And I don't know how many ways I can teach this message to everybody. So this young man from Florida, from Jackson, Florida, he went to Yemen. Guess what he learned in Yemen? He learned Islam. He came back to America. Guess what he became? A Muslim jihadist. And that is one of thousands and thousands. It's happening all over this country. And the FBI and the CIA will not talk about it. And I guarantee you, if this truth, my dear sister, if this truth, if this news is true, it leaked out by accident. That is the only reason you heard about it. Somehow somebody made a boo-boo and they did not keep this in secret. Go ahead, Christy.
But I think, and let me ask you, because, you know, I may have misheard you, or maybe you saw me miss the first part of your comment. Did you say he was turned in by someone at the mosque?
Yes, that's true. And I researched it when I first ran across it. And
okay.
I saw articles from two different newspapers in Jacksonville.
Okay.
You need to answer that.
Somebody in the mosque, 10 minutes, say, this guy is a bad Muslim. This is what I call hogwash talk. It could be the imam of the mosque turn him in. You know why? Because the imam of the mosque tried to pretend to be this good, loving Muslim guy. And if I am the FBI, I will go to the imam and say, why you turn this man, or whoever turn him in, Why do you hate him? Oh, because he teach hate. Oh, because he hate America. Oh, because you want to be a jihadist. Are you a Muslim yourself? Don't you know that that is exactly what Allah teach you in the Quran? Each one of you should kill on a good American or two or ten. What's wrong with you? Are you kind of a fake Muslim? See, the problem is FBI will not speak the truth about Islam. Even though FBI knows the truth about Islam, Eric Holder are stopping, let me say it again, Eric Holder are stopping, are hindering the FBI from doing their job. So
right. If
there's a Muslim, if there's a guy in FBI knows the truth about Islam, he cannot do anything with it. Because if he say anything about it, he will be kicked out of the FBI. And God bless Barack Hussein Obama and all those who work within the good Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda. They will make sure that nobody in the FBI will open his mouth against Islam or Muslims. And if there's Christy, if 1,000 men right now has been turned in by Muslim imams all over the mosque in America, this will not change the fact that Islam is the source of tyranny.
Well, if I can interject this is something that Yusama, you can either, you know, straighten me out, but I think what you've seen happen is that there is some tension in the Muslim community. And some, like you saw in London, where you saw this man chopped to pieces, in fact, I think there were, two of them, chopped to pieces this soldier in the London street in broad daylight. They wanted it to be known. If you saw the full video, he says why he's doing it. And they want to take over the Europe, and they're willing to do terrorist acts. But now you have this other group of Muslims who are saying, well, you know, not yet, hold back. There's a lot of lying going on in the community. So if they think someone is going to be suspected of being a terrorist, it's not hard for them to disavow themselves and say, oh, no, that's not Islam. They do it all the time. They know that it's Islam.
Let me ask, Christy.
Yes.
Muslim in America, the Muslim jihadist in America, the wise one, the smart one, not the fake one, the wise one, the smart one in America, do not want any attack or any jihadist or any bombing to take place in America for the next 20, 30 years. If you are a good Muslim, a good believer, who believe Americans are infidels, who believe this country must be wiped out by the edge of the sword, if you are a good, smart jihadist in America right now, you will do anything and everything to stop any attack. So if somebody comes to your mosque right now and he said, we're going to go bomb a building or do something, you turn him in quickly. Why? Because that's the smartest thing to do. If we have four or five attacks within the next few months, you know what's going to
something happened? That would stop Americans from being falling under the hand of Muslims. That will hinder the Muslim agenda in America. So if you are a good Muslim jihadist with a good strategic, the next 20 years or 30 years, make sure not one more bomb like the one in Boston will take place. See, this is immature. This is very foolish. But if you are a good Muslim jihadist, prepare yourself and your people for 30 years from now to burn this country to the ground. Because that is the good, smart move of Muslim jihadists in the West. If you're not gonna turn, if you're gonna destroy it, then wait. You know, because if you don't destroy America, then mean you destroy Islam. See, one of the two have to be destroyed. Islam will be destroyed in America, or America will be destroyed by Islam. In the next 5, 10, 15 years, if any Muslim to try to do something stupid in America, that will destroy Islam in America. But if Muslim wait 25, 30 years, when they have enough people all over this country to destroy this country, that will be one hit. And one Friday, after a good Friday prayer, maybe in the middle of the month of Ramadan, and you see the mosques all over America are loaded with jihadists, and they come out. In 1 hour, they burn this country to the ground and kiss America goodbye.
Is that kind of answered your question? I mean,
yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sister. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you
Good
for
your
calling.
Can you take a quick break, and when we come back, we can get to more phone calls, so we move on to another topic, please.
Yes, I will do that. Thanks for your call again. We're going to go to a quick break.
Years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet? Muhammad. The new faith? The religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
And we'll come back to the next half hour for this night program. And believe it or not, we will be in Ohio until the end of the month, just to echo the sound of this commercial. And we're going to be in Florida for a good 2 weeks, and then we'll be in the state of Mississippi for a good 2 weeks, and then we're going to go up north Missouri for a good 2 weeks, and then I'm going to be heading to the west, to Colorado, for a few days, and from Colorado I'm going to be heading to the state of Oregon. So if you are interested to have us to come to speak in your church, in your organization, in your group, small or big, doesn't matter to us, we believe if call came to us, we will be there, because believe it or not, if Jesus will walk 6 hours on foot to minister to one woman, Usama Zaktuk will drive his RV or his car, or he will take a flight to come to speak to any group, small or big. So this will just give you an idea of where we're going to be in the next few months. If you are anywhere in this area, or if you have a church close, you would like to have us within a state or so close to us, we'll fly and we'll come speak in your group. But we'll come back and Christy, what's going on, Christy?
Yeah. Well, first thing is, I want you to clear up your phone again for me just a little bit. I don't know if you're shifting it or why I'm getting a little bit of feedback on it. It's not bad, but it could be better. So,
Christy,
I will
hold my phone up for you to make sure you can hear it.
Keep it right where I want it.
Absolutely.
I can't see it.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's much better. Perfect right now. Anyway, I also wanted to mention that we would love during the month of November or possibly in October, but late October or early November or sometime later in November, we're trying to get USAMA set up to be speaking in Arizona. And if you know anyone in Arizona, hey, call Sheriff Joe Arpaio. We would love to get a conference set up or presentation set up in Arizona, and I'm trying to work on that now. So say a prayer for us. And if you're in the Arizona area, I did hear some very interesting news about Arizona, and that was something I mentioned, I think, last week, that the Muslims are opening a school, an Islamic school, in two cities. They're paying a huge amount of money, the Saudi Arabians are, to these schools, and they will be teaching Arabic and studies for youth in Tucson, Arizona. I don't know where the other city is, but there we are in the Southwest, and Islam is growing very, very much in that part of the country. So we'd love to get you some of there. Say a prayer for us, and if you know anybody there. Yes.
I believe, I'm thankful to God that Muslims are here in America, because that is a great field for us. We could not minister to these Muslims in Saudi Arabia, I promise you. If you take the Bible and you go to Saudi Arabia, you're going to get killed. If you take your Bible and go to Iran, you're going to get killed. If you take your Bible and go to Turkey, you're going to get killed. I mean, there's so many Muslim countries around the world, you will not be able to minister, but they are here in America. They are here in the free land of freedom of religion, and we should be smart enough to learn all what we need to learn about Islam and about the Muslims, and we should love them and reach out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ to get them saved. How they will be saved if they are here in America, and they're taking over America to Allah, Satan, and to Muhammad, this child molester, and to the barbaric wicked of Islam, while we Christians standing outside on the line watching them. Shame on us, Christian, and shame on us who call ourselves believers when we reject the command of Jesus Christ to go to the Muslim and make disciples out of them and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I mean, we have a great commission, and we have a great golden opportunity that there are Muslims here in America. There's a good 15, maybe 20 million Muslims in America can easily come to Christ. You know what, Christy, I believe deep in my heart? If the Christian Americans have done, fulfilled the Great Commission, the command of Jesus Christ, as it is given in the book of Matthew, and we start sharing the gospel with the Muslims, in the year 1970, where there were only 10,000 Muslims in America, or sorry, 100,000 Muslims in America at the time, if we have done that, in the year 1970. Today, there will not be one Muslim in America. And today, we can be begging the Muslim countries, please send your children to us. And do you know what they will do? No, absolutely not. We will not allow our children to come to America. And if you ask them why, they will tell you, well, all the Muslims who lived in America in the past became a Christian. We don't want to lose our children. Therefore, we will never send our children to America. Can you imagine? But the opposite is true. The Muslims are here in America. They're taking over America, and the church is still in a coma. And it's a coma, not sleep. The church in America is in a coma, and they're living in disobedience to the command of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For simple reason, because we're ignorant, as we just heard in the commercial, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We do not know what we Christians believe, and for sure we do not know what Muslims believe.
You know, and here's something. We have some comments going on in the chat room, and I would like you to address this, because there are comments about how, okay, well, maybe one of our chat room friends said, our legal system would separate them to make sure it isn't stopping people from having their faith. He's referring to Islam while ensuring Sharia isn't the law governing America. You know, I wanted to type it in here. I wanted to type it in here that Islam doesn't even pretend to be a faith. Muhammad said, don't say, I believe, for faith never entered your heart. Say, I submit. You want to comment on that, Usama?
Well, it is, I mean, with all respect, first of all, my computer is, I don't have internet. So I do not know who he or she who wrote that. My dear friend who wrote that, you need to understand, Islam is not a religion. Islam is a political cult, cult with politics in it. You cannot separate Allah, from politics in Islam. What do Muslims believe? In the Constitution of the United States of America? Then you'd be stupid. Muslims believe in the Quran. Muslims believe in the Hadith. Allah's word and Muhammad's words. And as you open the Quran and read, you see the law. And as you open the Hadith and read, you see the law. Islamic law is in the religion. So Sharia, Islamic law, is Islam. You don't separate Islam from the law. And you see it already. I am from Florida, for heaven's sake. I could not stop the stupid idiot Democrat in Florida to stop the Muslim from practicing Sharia, Islamic law in Florida. The Democrat in this country already gives a Muslim jihadist a brotherhood of care to get, they give them the green light. They said, go for it, practice Sharia, Islamic law in Florida. We have in Oklahoma 3 years ago, 70% of the people voted and said no to Sharia, Islamic law. Which means what? It means 30% idiot, liberal, stupid, non-American, hating to our constitution, voted for yes for Sharia. And you need to understand, in the state of Oklahoma, there are less than 1% Muslims. 29%+ of the American people of Oklahoma said yes for Sharia. But anyway, so the 70% got it, which means what? It means no Sharia, no Islamic law in the state of Oklahoma. Then we got one wonderful liberal judge, and by the way, she's black, appointed by, God bless his soul, Baba Clinton. So Baba Clinton put a black liberal judge lady in the state of Oklahoma, and she turned 70% people vote into a piece of trash, into the trash can. So what do we got now in Oklahoma? Muslims can practice Sharia, Islamic law in the state of Oklahoma. And this will continue to move from one state to another all over America. And America is falling under Islam, like it or not, for a simple reason, because people have naive hearts and they say, oh, we will not allow Muslims to practice Islam. Really? That's what you're telling me. We'll not allow them to practice Sharia. You mean you're not going to allow them to practice what Allah commands them to practice? You're going to make them disbelieve in Muhammad for the love of Jesus or for the love of Virgin Mary? How you come up with that? How you come up with that? That's how naive and ignorant American people are. Muslim exists in America. That is cancer is spread in America. You cannot tell me I only have 50 lumps on my breast, and it's not going to bother me, and I'm not going to do anything to hinder them, and this lump, which is cancer, will not kill me. I'm sorry. One lump, ladies, one lump on your breast is enough to kill you. You don't need to have 50 lumps on your breast. You don't have to have AIDS all over your blood. All it takes is one small, tiny bit of blood. With AIDS, I will inject in your vein, and you can kiss yourself goodbye.
Yeah, I may have misunderstood part of the conversation because our friend there, Toddy, was saying that he's afraid that that is what they'll try to do in America, and we would agree with you, Toddy. We know that this is what they're going to try to do, to try to make it seem like, oh, you have to allow Muslims to practice their religion just so long as they don't implement Sharia. And, you know, we've even heard Sean Hannity say that. Unfortunately, trying to get him to realize they're one and the same, one and the same. So you're right about that. And I know that our folks that listen to us all the time, Usama, they are really getting it, and they're really trying to spread the word. We hope that they'll continue to do that, because that's the only way that we're going to wake up the people who want to know the truth. What I've come to realize is there are folks that just really don't want to know the truth, and you can't make people want to know the truth. Sometimes they just want to believe whatever lie you throw out there. But we do have a couple of other callers. In fact, I've got a line of them right now, Usama, so you let me know when you're ready.
I am ready, so go for it.
Okay, this is my brother, and Vaughn, you've been waiting, and I see you've been calling in. So if you're still there with a comment, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm hearing an echo, though, so make sure you turn your computer down.
Yeah, I just had to turn that thing down because I had it on the
all
computer
right.
And on here, too. Anyway, yeah, the little glitches is just over the phone lines. They're not over the computer part, like when you were mentioning to Usama. Mm-hmm. Anyway, looking at how these things are going on, and now we're getting this peace conferences and things that are going on over there. I'm kind of looking at that we're going to have some kind of like 7-year agreement or something similar coming out there. Like we could be really, really close here.
Well, brother, you know the scripture. They talk about there'll be a fake peace or a temporary peace of the 7 years. But I don't think this is what's coming yet. They've been talking about peace. I remember Clinton and Yasser Arafat talk about peace. And I remember, Bush and Mohammed Abbas talking about peace. And now Obama and Mohammed Abbas are talking about peace. Nah, these people do not want peace. These people want pieces. See, the difference is Muslims do not speak good English. Like myself, my English is a little bit broken. So when I say I want to have peace with you, I mean I want to cut you to pieces. Pieces. Because Allah in the Quran says, cut their hands, their feet from opposite sides, cut their finger toes, chop off their heads. That's what we mean by peace. There is not in the heart of one Palestinian, let me say it again, not in the heart of one Palestinian, in the whole entire millions who live there, all the Arab, all the Muslim who live within the border of Israel, not one of them wants to have peace with Israel. Not one of them. And they're going to talk about peace? Yeah, let's sing. Let's have a song. Peace, yeah. Peace, and there is no peace. That is the reality. And you know what? I have to say this quickly while I'm talking to you. Until today, Barack Hussein Obama still supports Egypt, not the Egyptian. He still supports Mohammed Morsi, the removed president. He still supports the Brotherhood in Egypt. I talked to people in Egypt the last 3 days, and they all tell me the same thing. We hate America. We hate Americans. And I say, why you say that? He said, because you support the Brotherhood. Because you support Mohammed Morsi. They just received $18 million last week. $18 million. Why in the world our government, with the leadership of Barack Hussein Obama, still sends millions of dollars to Mohammed Morsi? He's no longer president, people. Leave Egypt alone. Anyway, I just want to share this with you guys.
Wow. Well, Vaughn, I'm going to put you back on hold in just a second, but go ahead if you had any other comment real quick.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if there is some kind of peace agreement, it's like, well, yeah, but we're Christians and Jews, so they can lie and it won't make any difference whatsoever. They just got to put on the show.
Yeah, brother Ron, you know what? The best thing I give to you for that peace is to go to Quran chapter 47, and verse 35. Quran chapter 47 and verse 35, where Allah said, do not be weak calling for peace when you have the upper hand. Muslims only call for peace when they have the lower hand. When Muslims have the upper hand, they never call for peace. So maybe they need to have some peace. We call it hudna. Hudna means what? Cease of fire, cease of war. Is it because we really gonna have peace? No. It's until we get some enough bomb, until we get enough power.
the last time I know is the Palestinians used all the rockets against Israel. Right now, they don't have any. So it's a good time to have peace. Because you know what? During the next few months of peace, they will have more fund from America. They'll have more fund from Israel. And they have more time to collect more rockets and bombs. And after they get all what they can get out of America and all what they can get out of Israel, then they have enough bomb, enough rocket, they go to another time of war. And the circle of Islam continue on and on and on. That's it. That's what Islam is. Temporary.
Well, yeah, it never seems to change. It's like, well, when Satan withdrew from Jesus, he didn't quit. He just withdrew.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't go away. He just hid for a while.
It's cool. Temporary peace time. Anyway, thanks, brother, for your call. Appreciate your thought. And we'll keep watching what's happening in Israel. Perhaps we'll have this temporary peace and we'll watch what else is going to be happening. Anyway, do you have another caller, Christy?
Yes, I do. I have someone on the phone. They've been holding with a comment or question. I think it's our Muslim friend. I have someone else that's also been holding, McGillicuddy. And I think I'm going to go to them first. And I've got you on the air. You go ahead with your question or comment.
This is Toddy. And what
Toddy, hi.
And since I was making, well, he was talking to me, I figured it's better if it's a little more direct. So I just, the whole point of what I was getting at is, I know our legal system, what it's going to try and do is it's going to, what they call bifurcate it. It's going to do everything it can to do that. And it's going to try to draw a line that it says is the difference between where it's religion and where it is becoming considered political or a form of rebellion to the U.S. government or something, to where it would not be protected by the First Amendment. That is what they will do. That is what they do. It's a settlement of sorts. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's the thing they should do. I'm not saying that this thing can be divided. In fact, when our court does that, it will just make them more angry. It will just set them off more in their zeal for this considered faith. As far as I'm concerned, is it really faith? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're right, Toddy. And after I reread your comments, I had a little clearer understanding what you were saying. Yes, what they're going to do is they'll settle for just being allowed to practice their faith inside the mosque or have their prayer time like they asked for in the prison system. They'll be fine with that until their numbers increase. Then they will begin saying that it is against their religious freedom to deny them the practice of Sharia. I think he's exactly right. What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Muslim in the next 30 years will be so loving, so peaceful. They will tell you we are anti-Islamic law. We're anti-Sharia. We love America. We love freedom. We love democracy. That's what they're going to tell you. And if you get, if you become a sucker and you believe in that, you might as well go ahead and kiss your grandchildren goodbye. No kidding.
But doesn't this all go to the fact that the American people are not standing up as it is for all the things that are going on already, that they should actually be taking charge of and telling their government, no, not anymore. Like in California, there's a devil worshiper that gets a goat every, I think, once a month to sacrifice in the prison because he can't be denied his religious freedom.
All right, I understand that. But can you imagine now, and I have no problem, with all respect, I'm a very conservative Christian, I have no problem with satanic to get a goat and worship it for Satan. But I have a problem with Muslim beheading your children and my grandchildren because that is the practice of Islam. You see the difference here? There's a huge difference between Muslim killing Christian and atheist who does not believe in God or satanic kill a goat. You can kill all the goats you want. As a matter of fact, after you finish killing them, tell me where you put the body, and I will make shish kebab out of them, and I will eat the flesh too. I have no problem to eat the goat, but I have a problem for Muslims to behead our grandchildren in this country 30 years from now.
Well, I completely understand, and I'm just all I know is that if the way our system works, and especially in California, it's even more protective. And they're going to try and find a way. And it's the people of this country. We don't stand up enough as it is for all the things that are happening to us.
And as long as we'll be quiet, most likely it's going to turn the table against us, and it'll be going to be so bad. Are you watching the Dominic Hassan? Are you watching the Fort Hood shooter? Are you watching the trial there? What's happening?
Yes.
You know what? I promise you. It just started. I promise you. You will know nothing about it until it's over. It is not this one white Spanish, and I never heard of the white Spanish in my life until last week. White Spanish, George Zimmerman, killed a 17-year-old child. You call him a baby. No, not just a child, a baby black. Now, this big, bad white Spanish kills this little baby, innocent, dove, black person. This will go to the media for months. But Dominic Hassan, who killed 13 of our own American people and wounded 30-some more, and he shouted, Allahu Akbar, I promise you, you will hear nothing about this case. And most likely, he will not be found guilty. And if we found him guilty, he will go in prison for life, as maybe they think, and within a few months, he will be set free back to his home country. You make a bet?
No, you're probably right. I wouldn't be surprised if you're absolutely right. That's the way this works. Well, Barack Obama, you know, he had a whole page about how he was a Muslim as a kid. And the funny thing that always got me is, I don't know anybody that could tell me where the fatwa was because he had left Islam and become a Christian. There's always one, right? There isn't one.
I challenge Muslims, peaceful or not, to show me the fatwa, the decree of the killing of Barack Hussein Obama for leaving Islam. I challenge. There's not one, which is the obvious conclusion. He never left Islam. The man is a good Muslim. And we're just dumb American. He's a smart Muslim and we're dumb American. That's only two things I can share with you.
Couldn't agree more, and I greatly appreciate your input. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. God bless you, and please call back again. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye, Toddy. Bye. Yeah, I appreciate what he was saying, Usama, because here's the thing. We know that part of the problem is that Americans will not speak up and stand up for what's true. You know, we talked about we talked about Obama being a Muslim, and who are the ones who got angry with us about saying that? It was the Christians, the ones who said they were Christian. They said, well, you don't know. You can't judge his heart. And that's true. We cannot judge his heart. We were judging the fruit of what he does.
You know, tell me, what is this tree? I don't know. I have no idea. It's a tree. It has leaves. It has branches. It has a big trunk. Okay. Well, guess what? It has something around. Smell like apple. Tastes like apple. Hey, it is apple. Oh, it is apple tree. Good. Now I figure it out. Good. Anyway, Christy, we have, if you don't mind, if you can take a quick break and we'll come back, we'll continue.
We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back to our other caller. Are you ready? Yeah.
I am ready. Go for it, sister.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. the reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2 are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
And welcome back. And believe it or not, Christy, the Lord has really put it in my heart that sometime in the near future, we'll be covering at least one of the chapter, I believe chapter 8 or chapter 9. Chapter 9 in the Quran. My new book exposes the truth about the Quran, which is going to be about Moses. This is already broadcast. I already recorded a good 15 or 16 program for VCY, and I would like to cover it on this broadcast at night. So we will just announce, let you know in the near future here, we will be talking about what the Quran teach about Moses, or who was Moses in the Quran and the Bible. And that is one of my 41 chapters all over this new book, 2-volume, exposing the truth about the Quran, the revelation of Earth. I know you have some other people. Call her, Christy, if you don't mind. Can you give us one more?
Yeah, I do. But I also want to tell people they really will enjoy hearing about what the Quran teaches about Moses. And, you know, it's really interesting. It is fascinating. Anyway, this is our caller, and I hope I don't know for sure who I've got on the line, but we'll let him tell us. And we've got our caller on the line. I think we're going to get him on the line. Here we go. Caller 7503, you are on the air. Go ahead with your comment or question.
How you doing? What's going on, Osama?
Hi. Well, it is brother. It's Brother James, isn't it?
Hello, Brother James. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I haven't heard of you boys for a long time. I thought you maybe don't like me anymore. You don't like to come to my show anymore.
No, it ain't that. You know what I'm saying?
You're busy. I maybe, who knows? Life is
You never, you got any thing you can set it up? Yeah, I could set it up at a university if you're trying to get to Philadelphia and do a lecture. Up at the university I graduated from, Temple University. They had he did a whole lecture on the false teachers of Islam. I forget his name. He's real popular, though.
In Philadelphia. Well, you know what? If you can get me to speak there, that would be awesome. Since I'm going to be there anyway, we can swing by and we do a lecture and answer some questions for the students there.
Well, I tell you what, I'll get the information and then I'll give it to you. You know, I got your phone number,
You can text it to me. You can email it to me, however way you wish. Would love to do that. Can you imagine, Chrissy? Brother James is going to help me to get to speak in university in Philadelphia. Wow. Amen.
My whole thing is, y'all really don't really understand me totally. You know, my whole thing is that, you know, I think certain points you have is valid, and my perspective, you know, is I deal with it, I deal with the whole 360 aspect of it, you know what I'm saying? But you know, my question, you know, is concerning with the callers and also your co-host. And then you, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you're on a, you're on a conservative, talk show, blog talk radio show. And, I listen to it all the time. I listen throughout the weekend, it's all, people of, European descent on there. And, from what I hear throughout the week is that, they coming from a perspective of, something that's changing the way they live. They got a problem. That's what they really got a problem with. They don't really care too much about, Islam and what's really, the atrocities that people does in the name of Islam around the world. They use that as a justification solidified a point, you know what I'm saying? But they really more so worried about, you know, this Islamic religion or this Islamic force uprooting their very foundation that they established in this country. That's what they got a problem with. But it seems like you got a problem with Islam. Your beef with Islam is a little different, you know what I'm saying? Well, the way you present it. And I think you also, I think you also, in a lot of ways, based off the fact that you are in this, you know, arena, and you have mostly conservative people of European descent calling in a show, you kind of compromise in a lot of ways to kind of fit into that whole perspective so y'all can have some type of commonality. But I think y'all have two totally different agendas, you know what I'm saying? Even in the history of America, you see that the people in this country of European extraction has always been xenophobic in a lot of ways to differences. You know what I'm saying? It's always been this they have not, I don't want to sound racist, but I'm just digging for the historical perspective. They always had a problem with, you know what I'm saying, differences. To the point where, you know, you had like up at the university, you have, you know, people who want to wear their, you know, who want to dress as they dress in their native land. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
People have a problem with that to the point of that they can't get hired at certain jobs, not only qualification, but based on the fact that they want to wear their indigenous garbs or where they come from.
Yeah.
There was a whole thing about that. So, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know,
I'm trying to really understand, you know, what would be your motivation of even being on this show? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because there's different outlets that you could go where you can entertain. And I kind of see that's probably what you're doing on your own personal time. But I think that certain things that you bring to the table has validity if it's put in its proper context. I think that you're being used right now for a different agenda, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, even like, you know, it's like, you know, when you listen to the shows in the beginning of the week, it's kind of like the Monday show. It's kind of like they don't really know what they're talking about. They're kind of really silly a little bit, you know what I'm saying? You know, kind of throw little Islamic jokes in, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, that does need to be brought to the table about what's going on.
So can you summarize, Brother James, for the sake of time, I'll give you enough time to share what's in your heart. Can you summarize to me your question? What is your question?
Well, it really was a statement, you know what I'm saying? Well, my question would be, you know what I'm saying, why did you choose to be on this outlet? What was, like, you know, why did you choose out of all different outlets or even having your own show, which I would think would be better, you know what I'm saying?
That's okay, Brother James. Can you, Christy, give me his question, translate his question to me in English, please?
Yeah, I'll try to, and then we also have somebody else that I think wants to come in and comment about what he's saying.
I need to ask Brother James first.
What Brother James is saying is, I think, Brother James, forgive me, Usama's English is not as extensive as yours, but Americans are afraid of foreigners or those who are different. He keeps referring to European Americans. I think he means white people who are descended from Europeans, and they're white. Mm-hmm. And you should be in a different environment. Why did you choose to be on this show? And I know he made a comment about me being the co-host. But you got it. I think that's where he's going. You could talk to a different audience and maybe
Brother
get
James,
further.
Brother James, with all respect, Americans are cocktail of foreign people from every country. There's Chinese here, there's Japanese here, there's Russian here, there is European here, there's African here. I mean, for heaven's sake,
I'm not from Europe. I'm from Egypt. And I know people from Libya. I know people from Morocco. The problem is, Brother James, that the cocktail of different people of America, which is this country is about, is a cocktail. They have no problem with anybody from any country. But the all these cocktail of people, all these foreigners who call themselves Americans, they have a problem with Muslims, who call themselves Muslim first and American second. I hope you understand this. So I, as a Christian Egyptian, this person is from Russia, this person is from France, this person from China, this person from Hawaii. We call ourselves American, and we are proud to be American, and we choose to come to America because we love the freedom and the democracy of America. I will never give up America for any country around the world. But I have a problem with Muslims. Why? Because Islam is anti-freedom. Islam is anti-democracy. Islam does not teach anything about what this country is about. And Muslims in America, they're here for one goal and one goal only, to get the bottom line of it, is to take over America. Listen to the word of Allah. And he, that's Allah, cast terror into the heart of the Jews and the Christians. A group of them you are killing, and a group of them you are taking captive. And he made you to inherit their homes and their land and their money and a land which you have never set foot on. This is Quran chapter 33, verse 26 and 27. So the goal of Allah is to terrorize the Jew and the Christian. And if there is other people in America like gay and lesbian and atheist and agnostic, these people are in worse scenario. Why? Because if Allah terrorized the Christian and the Jew, what do you think Allah will do to the gay and lesbian? What do you think Allah will do to the atheist and agnostic? It's much worse. And the Quran is very clearly, Muslims are here to immigrate. Brother James, if you read in your Quran, every time Allah mentions the word immigrate, every time Allah mentions the word immigrate, the next word to it, here's the order of the Quran. Those who believed and immigrate and perform jihad. Notice, this is all over the Quran. Look for the word immigration in the Quran. And the third one, first believe, second immigrate, third perform jihad. And no, if you're reading some soft English translation, they're going to say, and those who struggle or those who strive. No, it is wajahadu in Arabic. Allatheena amanu wa hajaru wa jahadu. Jahadu in Arabic, in English, means perform jihad. If you want to know what perform jihad means, you go to a Muslim scholar. I know you, Brother James, you're a very nice, loving, peaceful Muslim who know nothing about Islam. I know that. Because you don't believe in Ibn Kathir, you don't believe in al-Tabari, you don't believe in al-Qurtubi, you don't believe in Jalalain, you don't believe in Muhammad himself who practiced these verses, and you don't believe any of the Muslims who live in the last 1,467 years, but you only have your own Islam because you are the only one who interprets the Quran right according to your wishes. But it does not work this way. All these verses in the Quran, the 31 verses where Allah said, perform jihad, the interpretation of this word jihad by all Muslim scholars except yourself, of course you have your own opinion, it is a holy war. So that's why Americans do not like Muslims. That if America know Islam. The sad thing is, the number of Americans who do not like Muslims, who do not believe that Islam is a religion can be practiced in this country because it's anti-freedom, it's anti-democracy. They're less than 1%. Let me finish my sentence.
Okay.
That's why you are still in America. Because believe it or not, if the Americans, and you talk about them in general, if this white American knew Islam, I promise you, there will not be one mosque in America, there will not be one Muslim in America. All Muslims in America will be killed as Osama bin Laden was killed by Obama, if you believe he killed him, because I don't believe he killed him. But the reality is, according to the Constitution of America, the law of the land, there should never be a mosque in America, a mosque which teach the Muslim to behead the Christian and the Jews, as it is written in Quran chapter 47 and verse 4, or even as simple as the verse 551, which we talked about in the early hour program, to hate Christian and Jews. See, when you hate somebody in America, that's illegal, and that is Islam. Go ahead, Brother James.
Yeah. You know, my question is, because I'm really trying to take what you say, you know what I'm saying, you know, for you know, you just trying to, you know, because you lived over in Egypt and you experienced what was going on over there personally. So I can't take that away from you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's why I'm being a little more sympathetic, you know what I mean, with my analysis on you personally. You know what I'm saying? But my question is that do you think that the average Muslim immigrant here in America are over here to, you know, create this whole atmosphere of tension and try to uproot the government with the Sharia law? Do you really think that the average average, you know, because you could include the converts into the religion as well.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's the answer. I got your question. Here's the answer. How many Muslims live in the state of Florida?
How many Muslims live in the state of Florida?
Percentage-wise. Do you have any idea?
No, I don't have no idea of the percentage.
Less than 1%.
Okay.
Do you know that Muslims in Florida have more voice than all Americans who live in Florida, and they're right now forcing Sharia, Islamic law, on all the people who are living in the state of Florida? Why in the world, when I met with this Muslim in the capital, Tallahassee, why in the world, if they are less than 1%, are talking to our legislator and convincing our ignorant legislator that Sharia, Islamic law, is beautiful? It's almost as good as Islam. And we have a judge. Let me give you an example. In Islam, a man has the right.
What kind of Muslims were they?
They're Muslim. They're Sunni and Shia and all kind of Muslims. They're all united. They all have so much unity. Care are the leader of Shia. There's a man by the name.
What area of Florida that was? Because I live in Miami.
Tallahassee, the capital. The capital of Tallahassee. They have a Muslim day.
Muslim day
is the capital. But that's okay. What I'm saying is this man raped his wife. He forced himself on her, and he had sex with her. He got his good feelings. Then she called the police, and she said, this man raped me. They did not say, I did not rape her. He said, I have sex with her. She liked it or not, I'm going to have sex with her. Well, we went to the court, and the lawyer from CARE, this Muslim jihadist who wear suits and ties, this Muslim told this man, to the judge, Your Honor, that is Islam. And in Islam, he has the right to have sex with his wife at any time. He does not know the law in America. He does not know in America if the wife said, I don't want to have sex now. He said, okay, honey, I'll give her a kiss, good night. She does not feel good. She's sick. But the judge was convinced by the Muslim imam lawyer that that is Islam. In Islam, there's no such a thing, I'm wife, I don't feel like having sex. No, he had to have sex with her. That's why the judge said, okay, not guilty. So what we have done here in the court of law, we practice Islamic law over American law. In America, I don't care who you think you are. You cannot force your girlfriend. You cannot force your wife. You cannot force a prostitute. If you are paying money to a prostitute, have a good time with her. And then she changed her mind. You cannot force her. Why? If you force her, now you become ill. You do an instinct. It's called rape. It's illegal in America. In Islam, there's no such thing as a rape. Rape, it does not exist. She's your wife. You have the right to abuse her. She like it or not, she feel like it or not. So what's happening here? So in Florida now, we're practicing Sharia, Islamic law. Well, thank God, there's a higher judge who reversed the verdict and said, no, he is guilty. He has no right to force himself on her because we live in America. We don't live in Saudi Arabia or Egypt or Pakistan or Indonesia or any of the 57 Muslim countries. So now we have to come up with a conclusion, Brother James. Which law are we going to practice in America? Islamic law, Sharia, or democracy of America? And the problem is Muslims are so smart, they are using the soft stages of Sharia to force it on themselves in America. I'm sorry, my friend. If you want to wear hijab...
So your answer would be yes, that is the case.
Brother James, you have to figure out, you live in America, there's rules of law in America. You want to drive a car, that's beautiful. But guess what? Driving car in America is a privilege. It is not a right.
You cannot tell to the police station or to American people, hey, I am an American, I have the right to drive a car. No, there's a privilege. And to receive this privilege, first of all, you have to be a safe driver. Number two, you cannot be drunk or under influence of drugs. Number three, you cannot drive a car without passing the test. Number four, you must have a driver license. And the driver license has to be issued and renewed every whatever years in case you're old and you have health problem, eye problem. And this driver license must have a picture. We call it a picture ID. And the picture ID, the purpose of it to see your face, to see your eyes, to know who you are from your picture. Now, Muslim in America said, wait a minute, I don't want to take a picture with naked face. A Muslim lady, she said, I'm a Muslimah. I believe in Allah, I believe in Muhammad, I believe in the Quran, and Allah said to cover my face. I don't want you to take a picture of me. Muhammad said, a house with a picture, there is no angel in it, and the people of the house will burn in hell. So I want to be a good Muslimah, and I was a good Muslimah, so I'll allow you to take a picture of me, but I have a full burqa, full hijab. Well, guess what? Yeah. I'm going to tell this lady, with all respect, you can go back to Saudi Arabia, where they will never issue a driver license because you will never drive a car. You want to live in America, and you want to enjoy the freedom of America, you want to drive a car, you have to have a picture ID, and I have to see your eyes. The color of your eyes have to be in the picture, and everything about you, I have to know everything about you. Otherwise, you have no privilege to drive in America. You see the problem here now? American people are so ignorant. And
yeah,
with the
I definitely agree with that point, that it is definitely a cultural clash that is...
Not culture, has. Brother James. No, but excuse me. Not on this show. I'm telling you. It's not culture. It is Islam. Don't mix culture with Islam. Because
I was speaking specifically on the driver's license and, you know, women, you know, they dress a certain type of way and certain Islamic sects, they keep their face covered and they view that as, they can't take pictures. And, you know, I mean, that is culture, whether we want to face Islam or... But my point is, you know, my point, Usama, if I could get a second, is that when you look at, immigration period in America, you see that it was a process of, people kind of amalgamating into the culture, because even when you had, Irish Catholics, based off of their beliefs and the political, historical context of what happened with Catholicism and in the Protestant nation, they got discriminated on. Well, but what you've seen was eventually an amalgamation into the mainstream culture. And that's what I basically see with what's going to happen in America with Muslim, what's already happening, because I am friends with a lot of, Pakistani Muslims, and they more so immigrated. I mean, even when you look at the generations, you know, they speak in better English, and they more, you know what I'm saying, throwing away those customs that, you know, their fathers and their grandfathers are holding on to. So you see, I could see the a process of amalgamation, just like with all the other immigrants into the country. And I think the last caller was talking about, with the legislation, I think that, it's going to be, a separation of, once again, church and state. You know, it's going to have to be a line drawn as far as with the Muslim extremists, if you want to classify them as that, Because I think it's all propaganda.
I don't call Muslim extremists. I call them Muslim believers, Brother James.
Right. I understand your
perspective. That is Islam. That is Islam.
Argument.
If you don't like it,
right.
If you don't like it,
we'll go with that, But I think it's going to be, a separation between the belief, inculcating the belief into politics, and your personal, just like you did with everything, and that's what you even see, you can see it happening.
Can you choose less words to guess?
I don't think that's the issue.
I'm losing you, my friend. I'm losing you.
Yeah, I think the issue is more so, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, Chrissy, can you tell me what Brother Jim's response
is? I think it's more so.
Brother
okay.
Jim, just a minute, please. I lost you, friend. I don't even know what you're saying. You're using so many words to try to pass a point. What is the point, Chrissy?
Okay, well, Brother James is of the opinion that just like the Irish Catholics were discriminated against and other groups that came here, that eventually Muslims are going to get into this society and be just like everybody else. But I know you would have a comment.
My friend James is this.
He's saying yes, his friends, they're losing their habits, they're not following like what their fathers and their grandfathers did. But I would just say to Brother James, then that might be the case with some of them, and that's a good thing. But the fact is, what about women who are being murdered by their own families because they stopped doing the things? It isn't that you want women to be able to wear their coverings because they choose to do it. The fact of the matter is, if they stop doing these things, sometimes their families kill them.
The family are forcing, the women to be covering hijab. And if she take her clothes as a hijab off and dress modesty like American, like these two young ladies in Texas who were killed by their father, Muhammad, from Egypt, he shot them both inside the scar. And until today, we never got the man. And he's a free man. He may be living in America, or he maybe went to Egypt, and nobody will catch him. And it's history. And why he shot his own two daughters? Because he chose not to cover with hijab. And that's sick. But anyway, Brother James, I think we spent enough time between us and you tonight.
Yeah, we got to go.
I want to move on, Brother James. Thank you for calling, and we'll talk some more later, by God's will. But I can tell you this in simple words, Brother James. It was good to hear your voice, man. Please come back again. But I can tell you this in very simple words. Islam is not just a culture thing. Islam covers all aspects of life. Believe it or not, and I said with all respect, we have ladies with us on the show. Islam covers the life of the Muslim man or woman even before the mother conceived with her husband. Do you know that in Islam, before a man make love to his wife to have her pregnant, there's a special prayer. So he has everything, even before he make love to his wife, he has to have a special prayer, and then everything about this infant will be born and live and die, even after he die or she die. When they bury him according to Islam. So Islam covers all aspects of life of a Muslim man or woman. There is no freedom. It's not culture in one piece of land, in one country around the world. Islam is Islam. It doesn't matter. If you lived on the moon, not only on earth, if you lived on the moon, and your daughter or your son choose to leave Islam, you must kill them. Why? Because that is honor killing. That is Quran chapter 6 and verse 151 and chapter 17 and verse 33 and other chapters of the Quran. So it is Islam, and I can't help it. And you can have in America all multicultural, you can have Japanese and Chinese and Russian and Egyptian and every country around the world. And they can live together in harmony.
Okay, we got.
But when you put Muslim, in the middle of it, Christy, then that's when you kiss a goodbye. It does not work. There's no harmony. See, the coexist. It will work. As a matter of fact, it worked for years in America. Do you think all Americans are Protestant or all American are Catholic? There's atheists in America. There's gay and lesbian in America. There's satanic worship, as we heard in our previous segment, in America. And these people live fine. I never heard of a Baptist kill a Catholic or a Catholic and Baptist killer in a satanic worshiper. But we hear Muslims killing their own people for leaving Islam. And I'm sorry, the day is going to come when Muslim will have the upper hand and Muslim will kill non-Muslim for not accepting Islam. And that is the great danger of the cult of Islam. It's not a religion. It's not nothing to do with culture. It's a cult. And James, the more you read of the Quran and the more you read its interpretation and how early Muslim, started by Muhammad himself, how these people practice Islam the last 1,457 years, the more you will hate Islam. But as long as you come up with your own interpretation and you skip verses of the Quran and you skip saying of Muhammad and you just try to make Islam a loving, peaceful religion, you will continue to deceive yourself. And sadly, most likely the day is going to come where you deceive your own children, make them believe that Islam is what it is not. Christy, can we take a quick break, please, and then we'll come back for another person or something else? Or what do you
Yes, we have another caller that's waiting, and they want they're hoping Brother James will still be hanging on and listening. So, Brother James, hang on, and we have another caller coming on. So we will be back in just a minute.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
And welcome back. It's good to have you with us in this last half hour. Time fly on Saturdays. I don't know why. This 10 to 12, it goes very fast. You know what, Christy? We should have it maybe 4 hours with all this wonderful people playing. I have not even studied. I have not studied anything. And here's the last hour, half hour, Christy. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, it's good we've got callers calling in. And actually, I have a request out of the chat room, so I need to read it. Okay, we're going to bring our friend on the line. This is our friend from 2020 Radio. So
all right.
I know he's got some comments, and we're going to let him go ahead. You're on the air with us. Is this
Hello,
Chiefsky?
Hello, Usama. Yes, it is.
Hey,
how are you?
How are you?
Good to hear your voice. How are things going with you?
Oh, I'm living in love and life. That's all I can do.
Well, praise God. Absolutely. Absolutely.
My first question is, our brother James still on the line?
Yes, he's on the line. He can hear you.
Okay. All right. This is how it's going down. Number one, my name is G-Ski Rocks. I am what they call the hip-hop conservative. I am a black man. I am also a former member of the cult called the Nation of Islam. And yes, I called it a cult because that's exactly what it is. The Nation of Islam is not even close to what real Muslims call Islam. So,
by the way, brother, before you finish your talk, I met with so many Muslims who 100% agree with me. They said Nation of Islam is a cult. And I believe Islam itself is a cult. So is Nation of Islam is a cult from within the cult of Islam. So that's like a double cult. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
I would have to agree with that one also. Now, there are a couple comments that James had made, and I want to answer just a few of them. Number one, he mentioned, how can Usama be part of a network that identifies themselves as conservative and stuff like that, like it's reserved for the European culture or people that are identified as European? Conservatism in the dictionary is defined as those who seek to keep things traditional. Now, with everything on the planet, there has to be a foundation in which it's built. This country was built on a foundation. The human body was built on a certain foundation. Everything was built on a foundation. So conservatism is part of a foundation that the United States was created on. So anybody can be a conservative. It's not just reserved for one person or one culture of people. It's not. It's part of the culture. It's part of what we call the United States. It was how we came together. And conservatives want to keep things traditional, keep things the way they are, you know, like the Ten Commandments that people say came out of nowhere, which we know where they came from. But the Ten Commandments is a good way to for us to live. You know, I shouldn't kill my brother.
Yeah.
I shouldn't lie and those type of things. But anyways, my point is that the best and most effective way to oppress a group of people is by using the law. The Democrat Party used the law to oppress blacks for a long time. The Jim Crow law, segregation, everything that you can think of. They use the law to oppress a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
What Muslims are doing, they're coming to the United States and they're carrying their law with them. And they're different from anybody else that has migrated into the United States. They come with their cultures. You know, people come with their cultures. You know, Hispanics come with their Hispanic culture. But Muslims come with their law, and that is completely different. So they're trying to inject their law into the United States. That's what makes them different. And their laws are contradictory to the laws of the United States of America. It's contradictory. Usama said it himself. Islam is not about freedom. Islam is not about democracy. They're bringing their laws with them. That's why it's called Sharia law. They're trying to inject Sharia law into the United States, and Sharia law is not part of the United States culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the big problem is. And we have to stop trying to believe that they have good intents because they're being nice to you. Mm-hmm. They're being nice to
you. You make an important – I was just going to let you know. You know, Usama studied Sharia in Egypt, and so he understands that often they try to claim. They just want these things to be – they want to be free to practice these things in their own community. But
while Egyptian, as we and you and you and I and my brother and Jesus and all of us talking right now, while we're talking about that, Egyptian Muslims rejected Sharia, Islamic law. They rejected Sharia, they rejected Muhammad Morsi, they rejected the Brotherhood, and they said, we don't want to have this law, the cutting of the hand of the thief, Quran chapter 5, verse 8, or the beheading of or killing the gay and lesbian, or the killing of a Christian or Jew, or the killing of Muslim who leave Islam. They want to have freedom. Therefore, they removed this law and the people who want to practice this law from Egypt, Muhammad Morsi and his followers. Literally, 33 million stood up in the streets of Egypt and said, no way, not one more day. While the Egyptians did that, American liberal Democrats are opening their arm, open wide, and embracing Islamic law into our system here in America. And that's how sick the American people are, because they're doing something you have no idea what is the result of it.
You know, I would make this suggestion to anybody listening, and, you know, if you want to know how it is that people within the Middle East are subjected to Sharia, there are some very interesting videos on YouTube of a television interview with a Muslim executioner from Saudi Arabia. And these interviews, he talks about what he does every day in Saudi Arabia, chopping off arms and legs and heads of people. And this is what we're supposed to be considering, you know, a great ally in the Middle East. And this is how Sharia is practiced in Saudi Arabia. And so you want to see what Sharia is. This is a real eye-opener, and they talk about it quite casually,
but this,
as if it's an everyday thing.
But Christy, Muslim in America, they don't want to practice this level of Sharia, of Islamic law now.
Right.
All what they want to do right now is, I want to divorce my wife. I don't want to hire a lawyer and go to court and spend thousands of dollars. I want to tell my wife, you're divorced, and she says thank you, and she's free. That's how Muslims think about practicing Islamic law.
Right.
In America. Now, what is the benefit of that? There are plenty of benefits. Why? First of all, they put their foot in the hole. They're into the system. You go to the court, and you're going to have a judge, and the judge is going to say, okay, these are a couple of Muslims. They're going to practice their own way. We're not going to bother them. But in the meantime, let me tell you how dangerous this is. In Islam, a man divorced his wife. She cannot remarry to anybody for 3 months. That's the law. And before the end of the 3 months, he has the right to bring her back. So guess what? But the Muslim man can marry to a new wife at any time. So now I divorce my wife. I said, Vicky, goodbye. You're not my wife anymore. I divorce you. Then I go marry another lady by the name Soraya. And then after I married Soraya for 2.5 months, for almost 3 months, one day before the end of the 3 months, I go to Vicky and I say to her, I return you back. You are my wife back. Come home. Guess what the Muslim have now? He have two wives. And of course, the Islamic law, this is Islam. They have the right to have
That's
four
right.
wives. He actually can divorce the two and marry the third one, and then divorce the second, the third one, and he marries the fourth one. And this is going to play games. It's playing games. Who's going to benefit from it? The Muslim. But the first thing is, the Muslim is going to tell you, that's between us, Muslim and Muslim, like they're doing in England. Right now in England, there are five counties in England practice Islam Sharia, Islamic law. Well, guess what? The day is coming, and in England, they will force this law against everybody else. And boy, oh boy, when you talk about forcing Islamic law on everybody else, you can kiss your beautiful America goodbye in no time. And I want to hear my brother one more time. Go ahead. I don't know if you have anything to say after what you heard what I said.
I mean, there's not much more to say. I mean, you're exactly right. And you know, to speak of the Nation of Islam, and one of the reasons why I called it a cult, because, I mean, it's specific in the Quran that you are to reject the infidels, and those are Christians and Jews and all this other stuff, but yet, you can listen to a speech by Louis Farrakhan, and guess what? He'll be speaking out of the Bible. How is that possible? I don't understand that, and that to me was one of the resounding signs that I needed to get out, because they're talking about how we must reject the Bible, how we must reject Jesus, because you know Jesus is the white devil, but yet you're using that same book to do a sermon. That's contradicting, and the Bible says double-minded man will be unstable in all his ways.
Absolutely. I agree with you. But, you know, because Louis Farrakhan is using the Bible, he can go to Jeremiah Wright Church and speak from the pulpit. And that's how you get so many dumb blacks, and I say with all respect, so many dumb black churches in America have no problem to have Muslims as members in the church. One of them is Jeremiah Wright Church, who offered me, they offered me personally, and Christy knows the story, they offered me a membership, and they told me I do not have to give up my Islam, and I just joined the church as the rest of the good Muslims they have there as members. You know, Trinity United Church of Christ, Jeremiah, wrong church, believe in what? They believe in the Trinity, the good Muslim, and the good Jew, and the good Christian coming together. And if you ask them, who is the good Muslim? That is Louis Farrakhan. Who is the good Jew? That is the Jew who hates Israel. Who is the good Christian? That is the Christian who fell in love with the Muslim and who hates Christianity and he hates the Jew. That is the Trinity. You think Jeremiah Wright Church is a Christian church? You need some help. These are the church who support everything wicked, but they will not support Israel. They send money to Hamas. You know, if Jeremiah Wright Church is a white church, it would be closed long time ago. But since it's black church and it's some kind of cult church, they can continue to run their business. And nobody will stand up for them. And with all respect, I am African.
I am African. I am Egyptian. I'm African. And when I called the church and they told me, we are black African-American church. If you go, my dear brothers and sisters, I don't care what color you are. If you go to a church and they tell you, we are white Baptist church or we are white Presbyterian church, don't go to the church. That is a prejudiced church. And if you go to a church and they say, we are black African-American church, don't go to the church. That's a prejudiced church. I believe we're American. And if you go to church, it's going to be called a Christian church. A Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, a Methodist, Christian church. The church of Christ, the church of God. The church is not a building or some color people inside the building, white or red or blue. The church is the body of Christ. And if you do not believe they are the body of Christ, that's not a church. I do not think it's reasonable for somebody to tell me I am black African-American unless I know for sure that he is a racist. Why? Because, first of all, I'm not blind, so I can see if he's black or white. He does not have to tell me the color of his skin. Number two, he's not African unless he was born in Africa. And I don't know any of the American black are born in Africa. Therefore, it's a racism. It is all about race. And if you listen to what happened with George Zimmerman in the last week, this reverend and this reverend and this reverend, these are nothing but a bunch of men who are racist, who hate white. And this because they hate white, and this guy we discover is not white, he's Spanish. Therefore, we add the word white Spanish. Brother, and I know you're black, as you told me. Have you ever heard of white Spanish before?
No.
Why in the world we call George Zimmerman white Spanish? Because, you know, they added the word white because they are racist black men, sadly, because he calls himself reverend, and I have no respect for anyone will talk about race. You know, I come from Egypt, where we have been persecuted all our life. Our neighbors burn our churches. And guess what we do? We smile on their face, and we bless them. And we say, we love you, and we bless you in the name of Jesus. And we bless them for the day that they will come, where they will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they will be free from this barbaric cult of Islam. How many Christians were killed in Egypt by Muslims? Thousands. How many Muslims were hung? Because that's how they do it in Egypt. If you commit a crime, they hung you. If you kill somebody, they hung you. How many Muslims in Egypt, the last 1,400 years, how many Muslims in Egypt was judged by hung from a tree or hung from a rope after killing a Christian? None. Zero. Muslim in Egypt kill Christian and get away with it. And at the same time, if a Christian in Egypt kill a Muslim, he will be hung within a few hours, not a few days, within a few hours. And we hardly have any Christian kill the Muslim. We don't kill Muslims. We love Muslims. Can you imagine? Here is a case in Florida. George Zimmerman, self-defense. As best as I watched the trial, I know it was self-defense. The man is not a racist. I mean, the FBI did everything to find one person. They interviewed 40 people. They could not find one person to say this guy is a racist. Can you imagine that? So many of his friends are black for years. But these racist ministers in America tried to put race in it and make him a white Spanish boy, killed one of our own 17 years old. And by the way, the 17-year-old child or baby, the innocent angel, have drugs in his system. So I don't know what condition he was when he started the fight. And maybe George Zimmerman is guilty. But guess what? He was found not guilty by the court, by the jury, by our law, by our constitution. Forget about it. Let it go. But these black racist reverends, they don't want to distress. They want to bring violence. They want to bring division. And the only one is benefit from this case, as I said 2 weeks ago, his name is Barack Hussein Obama, because till today we're not talking about all the damage he's doing to this country, internationally and nationally. This Barack Hussein Obama is destroying my home country, Egypt. There are hundreds of Christians have been wounded and killed, and we have two ministers have been killed just last week in Egypt. And nobody talk about that because we're busy with George Zimmerman. And I thought the trial is over. No, it's not over. It will be there for the rest of Obama's time in the White House. And there's so much important things we should talk about than that. How about impeaching Obama? How about get rid of Eric Holder? No, we're not going to talk about that. But we're going to do everything else because we got busy and distracted with George Zimmerman case and next trial, who knows what else is coming. So anyway, I don't know what time is it now, Christy. I have no clue. I don't have my board. But
we only have about 10, we only have about 10 minutes left, Usama. And any other comments that you have for us tonight, brother? I sure appreciate you calling. I enjoy your show when I can get on it. I can't always listen, but I appreciate you sending out a message. I'm going to get back on there with you another time.
Well, I sure do appreciate it. I mean, you have an awesome show. I have to listen every Saturday night because I learn so much. Even, you know, being part of the Nation of Islam for the 10 years that I was, you know, I haven't learned half as much as I've learned since I've been listening to this show. So I really, really, really do appreciate you guys and keep up the great, great work that you do.
You know, your word, you made my night. No kidding. Sometimes you get down, as I was sharing early. But when we hear something like that, you have empowered me. You have put juice in my battery, and that keep me going on. I don't care if Christy does not like to go on your show. I love to go on your show. Please invite me. Don't invite Christy. Invite me.
You know why you haven't been on his show, Usama? Because his show is on. Is it on tomorrow night?
No, it's Mondays and Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And Wednesday. Okay, Wednesday he's always speaking in church, and Monday he's usually traveling back from wherever he was sleeping Monday. But we have to speaking.
You
Monday.
Know what? If
he's going to get on your show.
Christy, if he invites me, I will cancel my traveling. I will stop preaching in the pulpit, forget about the pulpit, and I'll be on your show, brother.
Okay.
We'll get him on there.
Let me thank you so much for your word, Funkesh, my brother, and keep us in your prayer. And I appreciate you for everything you do as well. And I want to close with this a few words here because really it's deep in my heart. I love this country. And I know how division helped Obama to win the second election. I mean, Obama won twice, guys. First time he won because he lied to the American people. He deceived the American people as he told them that this country is no longer red and blue, black and white, poor and rich, man and woman, Latino and Spanish and American. We are one country. And people heard the lies of Barack Hussein Obama and they believed him. So they voted for him. And he won the first election. Now the second election, he said, oh, you know what, let's do the opposite. And then he divided this country, black and white, red and blue, man and woman. Spanish and Latino and American. It was illegal, or he want to give them to stay in America. He won a lot of votes from the Latino, from the Spanish. I mean, he actually divided the Republican against the Republican. I never saw so much deception in this man, Barack Hussein Obama. He almost did better job to deceive the American people than Allah, the best deceiver, who deceived the Muslim people. Anyway, so I love this country, and I hate to see this trial case in Florida to bring division in this country because of some ignorant people who call themselves reverend and minister. And by the way, these are not reverend. One of them have a child out of wedlock. He have sex with a woman. What's his name? The one who was having an affair. What's his name, Christy?
Are you talking about Sharpton, or are you talking? I don't know. I don't know about that. I know
one,
I've
one
heard
of,
it,
one of,
but I don't know which one.
The younger one. He had an affair with a woman, got her pregnant with a baby boy. And they call him reverend. I'm sorry. That does not even give me a good fruit of what he is. I mean, I'm sorry with all respect to this reverend.
It's Jesse Jackson. It's Jesse Jackson. Somebody corrected me. Yeah.
Don't call him Jesse Jackson. You have to call him Reverend Jackson, please. Please.
He's
please.
Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the other guy, I mean, when I hear them, Christy, they are full of hate to the white. Now they're full of hate to the Spanish. And Obama is winning from that, the division. That's how he won the last term. I hope and I pray that black conservative, black American, black who loves the country we live in, black who will not allow these people to destroy this country and bring division in our country. We're already divided as it is. And I love and appreciate those godly Christian men and conservative black men and women who came on the TV the last few days and spoke against this reverend and exposed their agenda. And I am a black. I'm not a racist. I am a black. I'm from Africa. If you don't know that, my name is Usama. I'm from Egypt. And Egypt just happened to be
a country in Africa. So I'm not a racist. I love black as much as I love white. But when some of this wolf covered in sheepskin calls themselves brethren, try to bring division to this country, shame on the black to listen to them. Shame on the black to listen to them. Stay away from these people and do what is right. Do what's right for this country. So what? We do not know what's in George Zimmerman's heart. Maybe he's 100% innocent. Maybe he's 100% guilty. Why we do not do the same thing when 100 blacks was killed last month? See, that is the racism, Christy. They pick up on this case, but they forgot the other 100 blacks who was killed just last month. Not the last year. Last year, we're talking about thousands of blacks has been killed in America by black. And I never see Jesse Jackson and this other Sharpton say anything about it. So it is racism, number one, and racism, number two, and that's all about it.
Well, this is such a crazy thing that the media is also very guilty of, Usama, and we don't know whether or not it's because
Christy,
they want
the
ratings or money,
Christy,
but
Christy.
They have
it's
made this
money,
worse.
The media is liberal. If they can't distract the American people of Barack Hussein Obama by any case, they will do it. The media will do anything to distract the American people from the real problem of what Obama is doing to this country. And that's the smart.
Yeah.
They will create a problem next week to get destruction. And that's why the media is doing that. Anyway, our time is up. Thank you so much for allowing us to be with you in this 2 hours. And I hope and I pray that next week we can do more study, not waste time on stuff like that, and get into some of the subjects we need to talk about, and especially live in our textbooks. And guys, pray for us. Invite other friends to join us. And God bless you all, and you have a wonderful, wonderful good night. And tomorrow, enjoy the time of worship in the church, and keep this country in your prayer, and keep Egypt in your prayer as well. God bless you all, and you have a wonderful good night.
And I just want to say thanks to all of our friends that have been, passing the word about the show on Facebook and Twitter, especially because you guys mean a lot to us. We get encouraged by what you do. And Brother James, I know you're still listening, and, we're praying for you. And I know there's a lot of folks that don't realize we spend time praying for Muslims. We know God loves them. We want their eyes to be open. So I
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Usama. You are a blessing, and our friends are as well. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.